Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Moslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on LA Talk Radio for this week's episode of Get Yourself the Job. And for those of you who have been with us for many years, you may have noticed something a little bit interesting and different about the introduction today, and that is that it's Jennifer Hill and Brandon Moslin. So we have with us Brandon Moslin, who is a dear friend, has been a mentor of mine for many years, and has been a very popular guest on this show throughout the years. And beginning today on September 14th, he is now officially joining me as a co-host every week for the show, and is going to be bringing his 15 plus years of expertise, both as a recovering attorney, as he sometimes calls himself, and as an executive coach, and just an incredible human being. So for those of you who might not have heard about Brandon before or caught some of the episodes that we've done together, I'd love to begin today's show by reading through his bio, which you'll be able to find in the show notes going forward, just so you know who this amazing, incredible man is, who I consider a friend and a mentor. Brandon is an executive coach, paid speaker, board member, and corporate trainer. He has collaborated, partnered, and coached hundreds of executives in the advancement of their careers, getting on to boards, and the overall expansion of their professional brands. His primary focus is on developing current and future leaders to be their most powerful selves and establish their executive presence to effectuate positive change. In addition, he has done trainings for thousands of people on a variety of topics around career and personal development. His expertise extends to helping companies build world-class cultures where all employees thrive. He is also founder of BAM Leadership Coaching, which focuses on helping individuals rise in their careers and navigate around roadblocks that may occur, whether they've been internal or external. Through a belief that life begins at the end of our comfort zone, BAM allows people to push onwards and upwards to be their strongest and most authentic selves. In addition, it helps to develop the next generation of rising star leaders in organizations while closely coaching and collaborating with VP and C-suites around developing strong culture and collaborative summits. Brandon has done many things, including over the last 6 years working as an executive advisor at AWE. And additionally, it's funny, Brandon, you and I had met many years ago when you were out doing recruiting work for Markham Search, who happens to be our sponsor for this show, which is just so perfect. So a huge shout out, of course, to Markham Search, who brings us this show every single week through their amazing talents in recruitment and providing professional recruiting services and temporary and executive placement. So you have to love that it comes full circle now. And here you are, and we get to host this show together. This is just such a privilege.
Thank you. To hear my sort of bio through your voice is always, wow, that sounds pretty impressive. Who is that guy? So it's like, that you need to hold the mirror up to yourself. So thank you for doing that for me always. Even when I was a recruiter and I had done a post about our collaboration and saying that you really are one of the very first people who inspired me to take a leap and find my new path. I am grateful to recruiting and Markham because without that, I wouldn't know you. So it's interesting. We get stuck in these sort of career traps where we think we'll be here doing this forever, but it's one more reason to be excellent at whatever job you have on earth, because you don't know how your excellence in that job will lead you to the work you are going to do next. And if that, and in my case, the work I love and I feel meant to do. So it's just this great journey, and I think that, as I like to say, I just said this earlier, but stagnation is the opposite of growth. And so you just always want to be growing no matter where you are. So I'm grateful that Markham and recruiting and law even gave me these opportunities to grow so that we could do this today.
Yeah, me too, my friend. I'm so happy to have you here. And I think this is such a fun way to kick off having you join us as a co-host. We're going to be doing a special series here on Get Yourself the Job about how to get the big job. And so there's so many aspects to that. And Brandon, I'd love it if you could start maybe by sharing a little bit about where this was birthed and the direction we want to take it today, because I think this is such a great idea and we've never really done a series on this in particular. And I think for many of us, that is our dream, is to get whatever the big job might be to us.
Yeah. And I love that there's no real specific nature. I like you put in quotation marks, right? Because, you know, as you talk about this with leadership, that some of the best leaders I've ever met are executive assistants. Some of the worst leaders I've ever met are CEOs. CEO oversees 10,000 executive assistants who help someone. Leadership to me, I'm going to use that word one more time, is about that growth mindset that is so vital and important. And so job is that moment of growth. That moment where you say, I have grown as much as I can in my current role and my current scope. And one thing I do think is so important about the big job is it's not just, we think of it as a ladder in a career. It's really not. It's you know, it's, I believe this is from Lean In, but it's a jungle gym. But you can go anyway. I like to think about it like the Willy Wonka elevator. It can go up, sideways, left, right, but you want to go through the ceiling and out. And so the point is that I don't care if the big job is this way or even that, as long as it allows for growth. So this was birthed out of, honestly, the work, to a large degree, the work I started doing as a recruiter, and then certainly where I did it all advancing women executives and working with so many amazing female leaders, and as I like to say, the men who support them. Mm-hmm. And watching people actually restrict themselves and really hold back from that moment where there really should be in that next role. And so there is some sort of, there, especially for women, there's unconscious bias. There's all kinds of factors. There's all kinds of systemic factors that prevent people from rising. But we're one of the biggest factors, that feeling that we're not ready. And so one of the things that I certainly took pride in was not just getting people ready, which I'm certainly an expert in, it was helping people feel that they're ready. Mm-hmm. And so the big job to me is whatever you want, whatever's next. But traditionally, I worked with VPs or above to get them to, you know, SVP, C-suite. But I certainly spent a lot of my time working with directors to get a VP. And I worked with interns to get them hired. And, you know, one of my favorite groups is that I've ever worked with is 20 to 30-year-olds that are in that, I've done everything I can now. I want something more in my life, whatever that is. The big job is whatever growth looks like.
I think so many people want that. And, you know, having birthed my own company years ago, I never thought that I would be growing leaders and have VPs and executive vice presidents, you know, 10 years down the road who stayed with me through thick and thin. And I think the onus really is the people, when you're ready to get that big move, yes, having an executive coach is helpful. And also having somebody who trusts and sees that thing in you that maybe you didn't even see it in yourself. You didn't even know that you were capable of it, but somebody sees the best in you. And unfortunately, you know, you're going to have leaders out there, and that's where executive coaches come in too, who are going to make mistakes. You know, I tell people my faux pas, I made many of them. But I'd like to think that, you know, a couple of the people who were with me from almost day one at J. Hill are now with us at Markham Search and are amazing, wonderful, incredible leaders. And I feel so fortunate to have been a hand in their growth, because we all have it within us. And I think what leaders do, so other leaders, is usually with Brandon, is so important to mirror back to people and to make sure that people know, you know, you are ready, you can do this. And I think that's a great way to kind of start this series, is how do you tell if you're ready? How do you know if somebody's kind of pushing you, and is it a good push or is it a, hey, this isn't for me sort of thing? How do you even begin to know all of that?
Well, and one of the things you talked about that's so important, because we're going to talk about this in next week's episode, is the fact of the importance of sponsors and advocates, which you certainly are. And you've certainly developed that talent pool. And you really did remind me, though, of, because we're going to talk about advocates next week, but that importance of, as I like the joke, I don't know if I like self-help books, but I like even more books that are about how do you help yourself by reaching out to others. If you require only yourself for your lens, that lens can get distorted in one way or another. For either way, it's bad. Too much narcissism or too much, I'm awful. I skewed for the most of my life to the I am awful. So I really identify with anyone who sees the imposter or the saboteur first. I call it the fun house. You know, you spend your life in a fun house and you see the mirror and it tells you, distort your image. And this happens a lot when you spend too much time in a company, by the way. If you spend too much time in a company or even in a bad relationship, you start getting a distorted image of yourself. And then even after you leave, you believe that image that was reflective of that situation is who you are. That's why it's so important. Sometimes it's hard to even know your value while you're stuck in a place you don't belong. So I think part of that is why the other external sources are so important, because they will tell you, you don't belong here. This isn't you. How you see yourself or how you're perceived is not who you are. That is so often the role of a great coach or boss or mentor of, I'm sorry what's been told to you, but it's just not true. That is that person's reality, they're projecting upon you. So sometimes but what I've advised from countless times is it is not about moving away from something, it's about moving towards something. So how do you know when you're ready to move towards something? This might be my lawyer mindset, but I sort of say start with what you don't want. You know, it was my advice in dating too. Oh, you want someone who's smart and that makes you laugh and is good looking? Duh. Like, so does everyone. You want a job that's fulfilling and makes you grow? Yeah, of course. What can't you stand? What is something that you've had in your past that you don't want to have in your future? Number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is, and this is really where I do a lot of work, is around what are my core values? Am I a person of integrity? Am I a person of respect? A person of transformation, innovation, whatever it is. And I think asking yourself about what you don't want and values. And if those things are not aligning in your current environment, it's a pretty good sign that it's time to get out and find a place where you're not falling in the same traps, but finding a place where who you are can shine. We will talk as we expand on our work on how you use your skills, how you help your skills shine, strengths, unique gatherings. That's something, building people's professional brands, if you will, is something I've done thousands of times. But first, it's what are you trying to build towards?
Yeah, and I think something important to understand, and I love the Willy Wonka elevator that you gave as an example, Brandon. I never thought of it that way, and it's such a great visual image, is that oftentimes people think it's a very clear, linear path to get the big job. And I'll never forget, I had a dear friend one day who had been an executive at one company. It was a startup, it got sold, took a year or two off, did some consulting, and this person really, really, really wanted to do something next. And he took one job that was in an industry that he wasn't passionate about, which, by the way, you really have to think about that, because sometimes you take a job because it has a fancy title and it's offering you a great package. But if you're not passionate about the organization, their values, not me, the product, but then you really have to believe in the organization. And this one individual really just got disheartened. And, you know, there was a job that came up that was three titles below his last title. And it was his dream industry. That was something he had always wanted to do. And I remember talking to him. I said, listen, here, if you want to be a COO or CEO down the road, you're going to have to learn other things. So you know you're good, and trust that if you take this job that's three titles below, you're going to be able to be promoted. And sure enough, this individual got promoted four times within less than 1 year. And a year after he took the position that was three titles below, he had a title higher than what he had before and was now on a trajectory where he could have had a CEO role. And I think it's so important to know that, yes, there's what's right in front of you, but much like the elevator in the Charlie Chocolate Factory, you're sometimes going to have to go down and to the right and then shoot upwards, you know, at a diagonal, and just know that constantly keeping your eye on the ball of what does that look like and how do you know?
Yeah, that's a powerful story that person's life began the upper trajectory by going downwards, by finding passion. I had a conversation with someone the other day about that they just weren't passionate about a role they were taking. And they've been out of work for a little while. It was a hard conversation of should they take it, should they take it. What we ended with was if they needed to take the job, they could take it. Would it hurt them? Maybe, maybe not. Would it be where they were forever? Absolutely not. You know, you're never going to stay, you're never going to stay in something that you don't belong in. No matter, you can lie to yourself for a long time, but you're never going to completely fit. We're just not that good of actors. You know, we eventually things catch up to us. And so I love that story. I love that encouragement. I've never seen someone file their passions, especially when it aligns with their skill set, and that wind up in a better position than where they began.
So. Totally. And I want to highlight one thing, Brandon, that a lot of people might be considering around this time. This time is a very unique opportunity for people to take great risks, much like what happened in the Great Recession of, 2008, 9, 10, around that time. People were forgiven a lot of things that you might not otherwise be forgiven. So you could look at this as an inopportune time to make a move of, oh gosh, we're in the middle of COVID, things are so uncertain in the world. Or you could look at this as what a great time to make a big move, because either A, you're going to make a big move and it's going to skyrocket your career, which will be great. Or B, maybe you make a big move and it's not the right fit. But guess what? If you need to explain that to somebody about what happened in 2020 and why it didn't work out, I'm going to take a wild guess here and say they might forgive you for it. So this is a good year if you were going to try to make a big change to have a free pass, so to speak, in the employment, executive suite world of people who are going to make changes and they may or may not work out given the state of the world.
We're always in sync. This is the exact conversation I have with a client before we talk today, who's restarting their career, finding the next trajectory. And we were talking about how's it going? And I said, just get out there, interview. And we were talking about how they felt great, because if it didn't work right now, COVID, if it didn't work right now, status of the world. There is no pressure on them. I identified that completely, by the way. I launched my own company in April. This is not to leave a steady gig and launch. It was a perfect time because the pressure is off. Everyone is trying to figure it out. And I love helping people figure things out. So even if it doesn't come down to a monetization, your ability to be in service right now is so high. Mm-hmm. Your ability to plant seeds right now is so high. As I've said numerous times since it began, it's a client of mine who said it, who's now CEO of a major organization. You need to survive 2020 for sure. But if you're not setting yourself up to thrive in 2021, you are going to fail. This is a great time to survive, plant seeds, move forward. You don't need to run 100 miles, but if you get to 20, you're going to be that much closer to your goal when you're going to be ahead of everyone else. So it's a great time to do that. But fear, we're in a really weird time with fear. People are afraid of, I live in California, there's existential threats, smoke, everything. I mean, for God's sakes, it's just like we are in a time where fear is rampant. And so one of the things that's really important is acknowledging how much fear is playing a role in why we may stay somewhere, why we may not take that risk that your friend took. So as much as it's a great time to take risk, people are very risk adverse.
And let's talk about that, Brandon, about pivoting. There are so many elements to being ready to make that move. And that can look a couple of different things. It might require a pivot. It might require a step back. It might require a giant leap of faith forward. I always like to think of that Indiana Jones. I think it was the third one. I'm terrible. I don't know the names of them. Maybe it was not Raiders of the Lost Ark, but the one where he has to take the step and you can't see what's below you. And literally you have to just have perfect certainty that even though it looks like I'm going to fall to my death 1,000 feet below, that I just am certain that this is the right step that's going to get me closer to the holy grail of jobs, right?
Well, yeah. And I think this is a perfect segue though, right? Because confidence, if you will, and certainty show up very differently. And one of the things that is unique about the role that I played at Advancing Women Executives is the amount of time I spent in leadership and feminism. And one of the great studies that came out of Silicon Valley was that for men to be ready, to feel confident, to take that leap, 60% certain they can do the job, maybe 50. Women, the study showed around 100%. I once said this to a male CEO. We were on stage together. We were doing a leadership summit and he was one of the speakers and I was interviewing him. And I told him that statistic. And then I said, based on that study alone, you should really just hire more women because at least you know they can do the job. He said, I don't know about that. He's like, I've never been ready for any job, including this one. And, I always like to say that I think half the audience nodded their heads, which I thought was a bad look for him. But his mind broke. The idea that anyone would wait until they're 100% certain was insane. It was literally saying, oh, well, in California, I say the sky is orange, but it is, unfortunately. But it's like saying something so incomprehensible in their world, because what got them to be CEO of a major organization that was profitable and successful and was later acquired was that leap of faith, Indiana Jones style. You know, I just love when something is synchronicity, but sorry to, but like, you know, this sits on my desk. Sorry.
Oh, I love that.
Just because it reminds me of the venture. I have an IR client who actually happens to be a woman, who's a woman director, and it reminds her every day to take adventure, to go after, to follow her dreams. By the way, non sequitur, but we'll talk about it later. But have totems around you that inspire you. Maybe not coins that drop, but totems that really get you lit up. Because it is awesome to remind ourselves in any moment that there is something more than just what we have access to. So point I have is, if you're ready, you're probably very alpha guy, and then maybe you should think about it. But in general, you know, most people even and the men are right too. You know, we're all right. We're ready. We can figure it out as long as we have skills. And people tend not to take bets on people who don't deserve it.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, your reputation is everything. And yes, you might make some wrong moves. There is the reputation management aspect. And it was funny, I was talking to a friend about this and giving him some advice in the last week, is that when we do make a bad move, it's not the end all be all as long as we don't make a big deal about it. We make bad choices in life. We might date the wrong person. We might take the wrong job, or it's not even a wrong job. It's just a stepping stone closer to the right job. Although the thing that is going to make or break how it's perceived, not only in the job you're in, but by future jobs, is how you speak about it. What a lot of people don't realize is that that's what has somebody who might have 60% certainty be able to execute a job and really knock it out of the ballpark versus somebody who has 100% certainty, is how you speak about things. Because if you speak about things in an apprehensive, tentative way, or if you say, or if you make a big deal of, oh gosh, it wasn't fair, or my team does this, or they do that, what you speak is what you get. Our words literally create our world. And when you get into those leadership roles, yes, you are going to be in the spotlight in some way, shape, or form. You will have at least one or more people reporting to you. And so you are now under a microscope. And that's the thing that a lot of people say, oh, I don't want that. In the same way that you're under a microscope, though, you can literally transform people's lives for the better, including your own, because, you know, having that leadership role, even if you're overseeing one other person, that's power. And when you can use that power for good by using your words, talking about things positively, even one of my favorite techniques that I learned from my business coach, and I highly, highly recommend to anybody out there who's going for that big role, get yourself a coach, even if you're just trading with a friend, giving each other feedback. I think we've talked about that before. But my coach told me one of the best pieces of advice I got is, he said, Jen, when you're giving somebody who you're working with feedback, say, what I loved that you did was X. Mm-hmm. What I would love to see more of is Y. And that completely transformed my management style and leadership style, because we sometimes think you're supposed to be devil wears Prada, at least for the women out there who might be in leadership roles or tuning in or thinking of going to a leadership role. I didn't have anybody good when I was coming up at the age of 27, 28 to emulate. And so I started off in a terrible way, being devil wears Prada and being like, do this, don't do this, you're bad, why can't you do better? And it was a disaster until I had people say, hey, over here, there's actually a different way to lead and to empower teams that doesn't involve berating them or being condescending, which was a hard lesson for me and my team to learn, but we got through it.
Well, and yes, and you know, you mentioned when we're, you know, the old adage, when we're judging someone, who are we really judging, right? So if you're in that unsafe space, it's very hard to create safety for others. You know, historically, it's why, you know, and this is important. If anyone does have a boss, not Jay Hill, but a boss now that is toxic and creating a lot of judgment on them, know that that's probably how they feel about themselves. Know that that's how they talk to themselves. Or they're completely unaware. Either way, same thing to me. Either way, they're in pain. You know, you talked about two things I thought were really important there, which is the reputation, which I want to talk about in a second. But you just mentioned the, what do I want to see more of? And I use a lot in my work. It is the thing that changed my life. I got trained at the Coaches Training Institute. But my mentor, coach, spirit human, is a woman named Cindy Wickering. She lives in Hawaii. Actually, she just lost her mother recently. It was a tragedy. And that in true Sydney fashion, she honored her memory in a beautiful way. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about this woman in particular, who I emulate so much of everything I do around, which is taking things that are not, that are icky and bad and maybe even ugly, and finding the beauty in them, not letting them just be bad for bad sake. And when she changed my life, it was very similar, sitting around a circle of relative strangers, saying what they saw in me and then saying what they'd like to see more of. And in my case, it was just how much I held back, ironically, for who I am now. But I used to hold back a lot, especially when it came to anything that I thought I had anything to say. And what happened was, and I'm a good listener, so that's, you know, I should have known that I had a lot to say, but it was just this doubt. And what came up was, all people want is more from me. They want you to say more, do more. And when I didn't believe her, she said, either everyone in your life is lying in some grand conspiracy, or there's a kernel of truth that, like, the good things people say about you. And it never occurred to me that those are my two options. Either everybody who's ever said anything nice about me is lying, or there's a kernel of truth, right? But I believed everything bad. And I think a lot of us do. I, you know, it's one of the things that's a problem with 360 feedback. I like to say, if you get 360 pieces of unique information, let's use that as an example, you're probably going to pay attention to, if 355 of them are positive, you're probably paying attention to the five that are not. And what I always believe is that you're never going to be great at what you're bad at, but you can be great at what you're good at. What you're bad at, you probably just suck at. It's just you. It sucks, but it's you. But what we do is we spend so much time trying to catch up and prove. And I think that's probably what you're doing, trying to prove I'm a leader. And one of the hardest transitions to do, and this is where I spend a lot of my work, is taking someone from being a manager to a leader. They're completely different skill sets. If you want to get promoted in your company, make that transition. Go from, and we could talk another date about what that really means, but there is and you use words like inspiration. Going back to reputation, the brand of which we put out in the world. I am, you know, as I like the joke around, brand versus reputation is this. Brand is the boss, let's use a boss, that walks into the room, and before they get in, they go, I'm going to project that I'm the smartest person in the room. I have the greatest strategy, and I'm the only one who knows what's going on. And I'm going to project that, and that's my brand. And then they leave the room, and the persons go, that person's an idiot. They have no strategy, and they have no idea what's going on. Right? The only thing that became clear, and this is important, I'll talk about this. We really should address this entire topic on this, that things I learned from my amazing wife, is who works in comms, is that when someone has an answer, they speak for some, if they know it, if they know an answer to a question they get, they speak from 30 seconds to a minute. If they don't know, they speak for 3 minutes to 4 minutes. You want to see this done perfectly? Watch how Dr. Fauci speaks. When he knows something, it's like a 10-second answer. When he doesn't, he's actually amazing. So I can't use him as an example, but watch politicians in general, and they'll ramble on. They have no idea what they're talking about. When we're concise, it's because we know. When we're inconcise, it's because we have no idea. The point is, you want to know that that leader, is as painful as what everyone was saying about him would be, he wants to know his reputation is. And you want to know. And that's why you want to do 360s. You know, you want to do these road tours. Go around an office and find out what people are saying about you behind your back. It may hurt. If enough people are saying bad things about you, it's probably the wrong company. But at the end of the day, you need to know what your reputation is. So I thought that was a really astute point.
Yeah, it's so great, Brandon. I love that you just brought that up. It's my favorite podcast that I listen to every week is Weekly Energy Boost with one of my teachers and mentors, David Guillaume. And just today he was talking about criticism, and the feedback he was giving is that, listen, if somebody gives you criticism, look at it as a gift that, you know, even if it seems like it's not true, for whatever reason, you're being given a gift of feedback. And the things that are the hardest to hear, there is a grain of truth. Now, it doesn't mean you're a horrible person, you should go cry in a corner. It means that, what if, my favorite thing to do when I get criticism is to ask myself, what if this were true? Or how could this be true? Or where has this been true in the past? And there's always some little kernel of truth that when you dig that nugget out, instead of having to go through that same painful process over and over again, do what Brandon's saying. Go out there and get the feedback. Find out. Go hunting. Go criticism hunting. And that is going to send you skyrocketing in your career, because then you know where all the potholes are. You're not trying to go boom, 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 you know, and try to like go right through. You're like, oh, okay, I should put some asphalt in there, because that's an area that has a hole and is really going to trip me up in a, you know, in a week or a month or however long it is.
And I think to that point that, you know, the other option that you might learn is, hey, that's asphalt. I keep on going down the asphalt road. Turns out everyone I've talked to says that, on the other hand, I'm great at innovation or creativity or whatever it might be. Why am I spending so much of my career on the asphalt road when clearly I should be on this very smooth road where I know I'm 20 miles quicker than everyone else, or, you know, whatever it is, faster. And so that's the other thing I'll teach you is that, you know what, you know, I talked to someone once right before I left a company, and me and another person were advising. We have opposite styles. And they were advising on, the person said, I don't have patience. And this is in the midst of COVID. And they, we don't have patience. And I went, and they started to go, well, you need to develop. And I went, no, this person is not the thing. It's COVID. Like, if that's what we're focusing on, we've already lost. What are other things we can do that are creating the impatience trigger that we can avoid? Because this is not a good time for this person who's already impatient. And it just turned into them actually taking action, finding an A squad, doing other things that didn't stack. Point of the story is, sometimes you want to know, paving in those potholes takes lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of time. We don't have infinite time in our lives. We have select amount of time and energy. Do the things that don't take as much energy over here that you're probably better at over here. And then when you have the energy, fill in the pothole. So I think you bring a beautiful point. But don't ignore that they exist. That's the worst thing we can do. This is the worst thing.
And I love your example, too, of the road. Is that's the whole point, is know what you're good at. I was listening to earlier today a program by a woman named Emily Harrison. And she was talking about how to create your best online program. And she said, what I want you to start off by doing is looking at the moments in your life that gave you your greatest transformation. And I had never done an exercise like this before. And she said, I want you to look at who you were before and who you were after, because that's the story you want to tell, is like, what were those moments of transformation? And what was the catalyst that got you from who you were before to who you want to be? And I think that's something great for us all to explore, no matter what level in our career we're at, whether we're starting or at, you know, at the latter part of our career.
And that one hits me right here. I remember I had a moment, I just started doing executive coaching, and I had a day where ironically someone had some really rough criticism. And by the way, when someone gives you really rough criticism, I also champion you to figure out what are they coming from? What's their narrative? What's their story? Because a lot of times, again, it's not really about you. You just happen to be the conduit that they can get their pain out onto. But I'm historically, I was a sponge. I'm better now at that. But I was in I don't really cry much, but I was almost in tears. I was exhausted about a lot of things. There was some family trauma that was going on at the time, a lot of other things. So it was just the straw, right? But I call my coach and I go, what business do I have coaching executives? I can't even have someone say something mean to me without having to leave a building. And they went, you know, I don't know what kind of leaders you read, like, and books you like and people you admire, but I don't admire anyone who hasn't been through anything. And Lord knows, like, behind me, I just have a hit books filled of history shelves, you know, of historic leaders that have suffered and endured. Almost every single one has battled some form of depression, something else. If you haven't endured, I don't respect you. I know that sounds mean, but it's endurance that creates integrity. Mm. You know, we all suffer differently, but suffering, as Viktor Frankl says, if you give it meaning, it will have purpose. And so I think that those are opportunities. They suck and I hate them. Don't get me wrong. I hate them every single day. And I don't coach people anymore. You know, that whole adage of you'll be better for this. Like, you know, the worst thing, you know, I joke around. It's like going up to a drowning person and saying, you'll be a better swimmer. And the person's like, F you, throw me a raft. You know, it's like, yeah, they'll be better. They'll be better. If they take the lesson and they get something out of it, we will all be better leaders. But that doesn't mean in the moment you need to be better. It just means to know I'm going to pocket this away for tomorrow, and I'll pull it out. So I love what you're talking about. And that's leadership. That's growth. That's opportunity. That's seeing something as not a negative, but as is. And I think that's where our external friends, our sources can give us perspective. I cannot emphasize this enough. Go on those tours. Talk to people. Get external insight because your internal reality may be false.
So true. So true. And I've said this many times, but one of my favorite things that I learned in a personal development class years ago, and I may have even shared this with you, Brandon, is 6 questions to ask people. And I would ask my own team this at every team review. I would say, what was your first impression of me when we met? Where have I surprised you? Where have I disappointed you? What can you count on me for? What can't you count on me for? And what is your impression of me now? And if you ask those 6 questions, it's like a 360 peer review. Ask your friends, ask your colleagues, ask people who are acquaintances. That gives you a sense of, you may think you're one way, but then it's like, wow, this is how I actually occur. And then one day it all starts to align and you're like, okay, the person I want to be seen as is the person who, that is how I'm seen in the world. And then it's this beautiful melting together of who you want to be and how you're perceived.
Can I tell you the truth? When you said, what can't you count on me for?
Yeah.
That is, you're describing my personal hell, which is like that I couldn't do anything for anyone that I loved. You know, I'm the guy, or, you know, whoever, I'm the person that if you need something, I will do it.
You're that guy.
You know, and so I know there are things you can't count on me on. You know, I know that intuitively, but God, that you ask that question. And so darn it, because we do this work, I have to ask people those questions. But I'll tell you, it's 5 that's going to be hard for me based on everything we've talked about. However, because we're talking about getting the big job and how do we know when we're ready? The important thing to remember is, what can you count on me for? That's how you know when you're ready for the big job. When enough people say you can count on you for something specific and you find out there's a similarity, then ask yourself, do I need to go down to do the things I'm passionate about? Do I need to go wider? Do I need to go up the corporate ladder? Whatever it is, that's your answer. You can ignore it all day. And pay attention to where you're frankly letting others down, because chances are you're letting yourself down. One thing I want to talk about, because we're going to give sort of 3 takeaways, right, is that importance of roadmap, that importance of building a roadmap. And that, I do believe, as much as we talk about getting external, this comes from within. This is you. I was talking about a story about Michael Phelps today, actually. I'm from Baltimore, so I talk about him and the Ravens a lot. But the Michael Phelps once ran a race and his goggles filled up. And the reason he did that and won the race, it was one of the times he won, I think he broke a record for 8, was that he had run the race in his mind so many times that he got in the pool and didn't have to see the water. He didn't have to see where he was going. I mean, that's insane. That's next level, but that's a great story. And I think that we need to do that for our lives. And then, by the way, here's a punchline. I mean, money. I mean, it can be money, but money's a moving target. And it probably isn't the big house, because the house is change. And as humans, we can adapt anything. We can get used to a certain amount of money, a certain house size, anything. What we can never get used to is that passion, that finding what we're meant to do. So I really encourage people to build a career roadmap, a 1 year, a 5 year, a 10 year, a 20 year, and just big dream it. Don't make it about money. Make it about how do you feel? Are you connected with all your colleagues? Are you running a company? Sure. If it's material, use material. If that's what motivates you, I don't actually care. What I care about is setting up that big goal, because if you have a visual, it's going to be that much easier to accomplish it. And this actually came out of a Harvard study where they had people do this. And one of the things they measured, by the way, was not just success. They measured happiness. Mm. And the people who did this exercise when they graduated were the happiest. And as it happened, some of the most successful. But they were also the happiest because they lived their life's purpose. I have this. One more totem is this sort of weird poster. But the most important thing you need to see right there is a redwood tree in Northern California, because that's where I live now. I made that with my wife in tandem, did a sort of joint vision board. We didn't live here. It was her job opportunity and everything, and our daughter and the amazing home I now reside in is in the same park that I proposed in, which is under, and I proposed in this park because it was had redwoods, and that symbolized a lot to us. Point of the story is, it's not just, and I say this all the time, I thought I wanted to be a life coach, but no one wanted to hire me. So instead, I'm a career coach who makes sure that everyone's life is as great as possible. And I think that the more you realize that those two things are intertwined, that are inseparable, that if you're not having a happy life, you're probably not going to have a happy career. And if you're not having a happy career, you're probably not going to have a happy life. Build a roadmap that allows for both. And then you will live and accomplish the dreams you want. And, you know, you won't stop because you know that you need this holistic balance.
Yeah, you just brought up such a beautiful point, and what you shared is that we inadvertently sacrifice. We think, oh, I can have a great marriage, but then my career will suffer. Or I can have a great career, but then my family life will suffer. I won't have a family or a marriage. And I think that what I would love to offer to everybody is we're actually designed to have it all. We are designed to have endless bliss. You know, I'm coming to you from Paris right now. My dream was to live abroad, to be able to host shows, help people around the world. And I get up every day and I pinch myself. It's like a dream come true. And I get to have it all. But because I thought to myself, how can I have it all? Instead of coming up with a list of reasons of why in the midst of COVID, an American can't get to Paris, let alone live in Paris, you know, there are so many ways that we can have everything work if you're willing to play that game of how can I have it all? How can I have the dream job, a family if you want one, or a relationship if you want one? And you may not. That's also okay. Honor yourself. Find out what you want. Take a moment, take time out every day and ask yourself, how am I helping get myself closer to that vision, that roadmap that Brandon just talked about? What am I doing to honor myself today? And when your eyes pop open in the morning, that's what you want to focus on. How can I live my most fulfilled life today, professionally, personally, and embrace that? And that's what's going to get you ready, not only for the big job, but the big life that we all dream of.
Love that. That's bravo. And I think that one, I love this. You use the word want a lot. And I think about that. And it's so interesting for me that what I wanted in when I was in my 20s is not at all what I have today. What I need is what I got. And I only got there by having you live in Paris. So you have amazing views. I was staring at a dilapidated parking lot and going, how is this going to be my life? But I had all the title and I had everything else that I thought I wanted, but I didn't have what I needed. I needed nature. I needed whatever it was. It doesn't matter. We have needs. And there's different realities, by the way. There's people who struggle as parents. There's people who struggle in their environments. There are people who don't ever get to ask themselves, what do we want? And so I'm cognizantly aware of that, especially in the world we're living in. So I think one of the great questions that we can ask ourselves is, what do we need? What do we need? Maslow's hierarchy, and it starts with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's why we need to do more for people to create socioeconomic justice. But that being said, and I know this, and not many people will, they will hear you living in Paris, and they won't know nearly the suffering you've gone through, right? Mm-hmm. And I do as your friend. I know how much you've endured. And so I think that's one of the things that I tell anyone, especially as I tragically lost a parent, no one will tell you this when something tragic happens, but you're going to feel all the pain and all the darkness and all the horrific nature of everything. The only secret no one tells you is that it's just going to make one sunny day that much sunnier. It's going to make laughter just that much happier. Because when you know what bad is, and this is true for jobs, when you have a really bad job, you will take the worst day at your best job over the best day at your worst job. And God help me, if we don't have a purpose, you and I, other than that in our show, I don't know what it is, my friend.
You're so wise, and I'm so happy to have you here, Brandon, just as a friend, as a mentor, and to just get to pick your brain in front of every time. Just so you guys know, the reason this was birthed to have Brandon join us here every week as a co-host is every time Brandon and I would get on the phone, we would get into these deep hour-long philosophical life questions about how to live our best life. And we would joke and say, gosh, you know what? We should record our conversations and make them public. And thus, here we are, you know, because it's just such a joy. And, you know, Brandon, I can't wait to do this with you. I'm so happy to have you here. And I'm so happy to everybody who's here with us on this journey. Either if you're new to tuning in, thanks for being here for this show and all the future shows. And if you've been here with us on the journey, thanks for staying for like the amalgamation and the, you know, the rebirthing of this, because everything is constantly shifting. And I know we have a lot of amazing stuff in store for you. And Brandon, I love what you have birthed this idea of the three takeaways.
Yeah,
I think so smart. This is the thing that I love is that he knows, he thinks about things differently than I do. And he's like, Jen, what if we did three takeaways at the end of every show? I'm like, you're a genius. Let's do it.
That's not my, I don't know if that makes me a genius. That's amazing. But it is what a great partnership is. Great partnership is one person who brings all the amazing things that you bring. And I hope, and that's, I call what I do partnership. And I love the idea of partnership. By the way, a client once said to me, a great partner is not someone you want to succeed with, it's someone you're willing to suffer with. And I just love that. You're willing to suffer with. Who do you want to endure with? It's in marriage, it's in business, it's in a podcast. And so I think that you and I constantly push each other. So you push me to do this. So what we want to give our audience, though, we came up with these together. And what we want to give our audience is create a career roadmap. You can make a weird vision board like me. If you just take pen to paper, that's fine too. But have things on there. Have, you know, your 3-year, your 5-year, your 10-year, 20-year plan. Just put it to pen to paper and see if what happens. If nothing else, it'll be fun to look at in 5 years. You are likely ready way before you think you are. If you are doubting that, you need to talk to your friends and family. I'll talk about the power of three on another day, but this is something I talk about a lot in my work. That talk to family, friends, and colleagues. Get insight on that common thread. You are ready. You are ready, especially if you think you are. And then, yeah, I mean, same kind of principle, but go on a road tour throughout your company and look for opportunities. You know, say, hey, I'm looking for growth. I'm looking for opportunity. I'm looking for something more. People will rally around you. They will. You just have to give them an opportunity to do so. So one thing we encourage you to do this week or this month, if you're at a company and you're looking for something more, is to go to people and say, I'm looking for more. The more concise you can be, the more likely they're going to get you there. But even if you're not, they're going to help you figure it out. I think that's kind of today's topic, is how do we figure out? So,
incredible.
And then next week's episode, would you like me to?
Yeah, I was just about to ask you about that. So if you want to tell us about the guest who's going to be joining us next week.
Great. I'm very, very excited. I'm having a dear friend and someone I've partnered with for years. Michelle DiBella is going to be joining us. She is at Lyft. She's one of their chief financial leaders at Lyft. She was previously the chief audit officer at Uber. And she was one of the heads of finance at HPE before that. One of the things I love about Michelle is she is one of the most, I call her the Tony Robbins of finance, really. She is inspiring. She's motivating. She's a culture builder. The topic we're going to have her talk about, though, is advocacy and to some degree sponsorship, but predominantly advocating. How do you talk about people when they're not in the room? How do you support people? How do you make them believe in themselves? What is the importance of doing that for others? And what is the importance in your career of having you do that for your for someone doing that for you? And Michelle has had that time and time again, people advocating for her. And I've seen firsthand her advocate time and time again. And those people are VPs and C-suite executives within 2 years of Michelle working her magic. So she's a pretty magical person. I'm excited for our audience to get to connect with her.
I am so happy. This is going to be an amazing experience to get to hear her wisdom and insights. And that's the thing, learn from the people who have come before you. Pick their brains. And we do invite you guys, for anybody out there who is tuning into the show, if you have questions on your mind, burning questions that you would love to ask Michelle, you can either email Brandon and I at getyourselfthejob@gmail.com, and we're happy to review those before next week's show. Or you can also go to the Get Yourself the Job page on Facebook. Feel free to leave us comments. Or if you're watching here live on this Facebook Live video on LA Talk Radio, leave us comments below with any burning questions in your mind, or on iTunes as well. You can feel free to leave us any comments, thoughts, suggestions, ratings on iTunes. There are so many ways to connect with us, and we really invite you. This show is for you. So please do connect with us in whatever ways you want. And Brandon, it's such a joy to have you here with us. I'm so excited for next week's episode with Michelle. And thank you to everybody who tuned in today.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Moslin, only on LA Talk Radio.